Turning it on would help. Good morning, church. How are you going? You just learned a very important thing about me. You can talk back. I am deadly serious, okay? If you've got anything negative to say, let's have a coffee this week and talk about it. But I am more than happy for amens and hallelujahs and whatever else you want to talk about during the sermon. It's okay. Amen. I did all the thank yous last weekend, but you guys heard them all. Thank you for the couple of tins of spaghetti there. That's really useful. It'll take us a while to get through the baked beans, but anyway. Thanks for all you guys did, and you know what, last weekend was a bit of a mess, wasn't it? It was a bit crazy, but thank you to all the people who reached out this week and just encouraged and said thank you and bits and pieces. It's good to be here and good to be among you, and I can't tell from your face, obviously, whether you're happy or sad or what's going on. So you're just going to have to blink your eyes a lot, I think, and go from there. Just wanted to, before I start, just explain. Thanks for your help this morning with the check-in thing. Just wanted to explain that different process a little bit better for future weeks. You don't have to register, okay? So no more registrations for services and all that sort of stuff. But we've obviously got to keep accurate records as to who's here on a specific weekend, just so in case the authorities or the police come in a few weeks' time and say, we need a list of whoever was here. And that we have a great church database. It works really well. We've been using it in Brisbane for years. And that actually has happened in Queensland a couple of times. The police have come and asked for a list, and it is so easy just to go print. It really is simple, and that's just what we've got to do at the moment. And I just really appreciate your help with that. And you know what? It's a good opportunity for me to ask you all your names, and sooner or later, I'll get to know them all. But it actually helps us in the bigger picture. Believe it or not, we've got a capacity limit here and everything else, and obviously if we keep nudging that 140, that information helps us make decisions about what we do, obviously, for the future. So I really appreciate your help with all that. If people are new, if they're joining the church for the first time, there's a little card for them to fill out. We can add their information to the database. It's completely secure. It's private. Only myself and Ange and that sort of stuff have access to this. So privacy is not an issue. I want you to know that. I think we're into Colossians. I think. yeah, we are. Colossians, brand new series. I'm excited to be going through Colossians, and I was hoping to get to the first couple of 15 or so verses this week, and I just didn't get there. So this is the first 8 or so. The interesting thing is it's written to people like us. This book is written to people like us in a medium-sized, rural, country-ish sort of town. It's written to those sort of people. The people in this town have got a wacky name, Colossi, sort of like our wacky name that we've got, right? Now, I am incredibly creative, as your wife... as my wife will assure you, that is not true, by the way. But so I was like, what do you call the series? In verse 2, Paul calls these people holy and faithful. So that's what we're going to call the series. Here's why this matters. Let me just get there straight away, okay? I'm convinced that the world doesn't need more fake people. It doesn't need more people who are just maybe flashy or incredibly talented. Is that me? It probably is. Maybe I should put this somewhere else then. Sorry. It doesn't need more people who are flashy. It doesn't need more people who are talented and amazing and all that sort of stuff, even though those things are good. I'm convinced that what the church needs more of and what the world needs more of is people who are genuine. People who, people of substance, people who are holy and people who are faithful. And I guess the reason this sticks out for me is that to our impression, at least from watching from a distance, what we've noticed about you, did I just change that, Jared? Okay. bring this back over. A bit dangerous for me, I'm sorry. Okay, I can use my voice, it's all right. I guess our impression of this church from a distance was this. There's a bunch of holy and faithful people in this church. And we saw that every week, believe it or not. Every week as we watched, we saw people like Bree did last week with a camera at her place praying for the church. We saw people here last week when we were locked down. We saw people like Jared and others making a broadcast available so God's word could get to somebody. We saw people going above and beyond and giving to the church in a time of significant financial challenge. We saw people without a youth pastor making something happen for youth because our young people matter, right? We saw people getting together to pray online together over Zoom, when it would have been just easier just to stop and just, you know, binge watch the next TV show that comes along, okay? We saw people go above and beyond for the sake of the church, and maybe without a lot of praise. And I just want to say thank you. Because you know what? That really came across to us from a distance watching you. Holy and faithful people is what we need more of in our church. And if we are going to be the church that God would call us to be into the future, the reality is that we're going to need more. So that's why I'm talking about this. Now, interesting thing is that Paul's never been to this place before. He has no, you know, personal connection or anything else. He doesn't know anyone in the church. He can't go there because he's in prison. So he can write a letter and encourage them. And this is I think a really good place for us to start. And what Paul does essentially is he says a couple of foundational things that make up the life of people who are holy and faithful. This is going to drive me a little bit nuts. We'll get this thing fixed. I like moving around. So anyway, first thing that holy and faithful people have got is gratitude. He starts verse 3 and 4 says, "May God our Father give you grace and peace. We always pray for you. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we have heard of your faith." These people have a faith that stands out. This church has got a faith that stands out, I've got to tell you. Notice that Paul begins this letter with a big long prayer. And essentially what he says is that, you know, it all begins with grace and peace, right? You've all received God's grace. Jesus has saved us and set us free and died in our place. And because of what Jesus has done, we have peace with God. It's all about grace and peace. But then he goes on secondly with this attitude of gratitude sort of thing. And he starts talking about specifically how much the people in this church have been given. And look, how many of us honestly start the day with the list of things that we're grateful for rather than the list of things we're not? I don't. I'm sure plenty of you have been parents, or maybe even you've lived this out in the last week somewhere. You've got a kid, a child who is about this high or maybe even a little bit taller. You're in a toy shop. You're in a supermarket. And all of a sudden, there's something that's spotted there right in front of them, and this child now has the ungrateful thing going on. Without this item, my life as I know it is not going to be fun. I need this, you know, and it begins with mum and dad. Mum, dad, can I? You know, here's the thing. At the very start of this book, Paul starts and says, you know what, holy and faithful people stop to realize how much they've been given first. They start there. And I tell you what, it is so easy, isn't it, to turn our prayers, like I spoke about last week, it's so easy to turn our prayers into almost like a downloading of the list of things that God hasn't got to yet, rather than the appreciation for all the things that he's done. It's so easy to do it. And holy and faithful people get up every morning and the world is not perfect. There's battles. There's circumstances they don't like. There's illnesses. There's things that aren't, things in their family that are not right. But because of Jesus, they get up and go, I can't believe what I've been given. What? I have this tendency just to talk about things that aren't in my notes. I wonder what our life would look like if we started from a place of gratitude day in and day out. I wonder what each day would look like if we started from what has God blessed me with than what hasn't happened yet. The second thing holy and faithful people have is a living and confident hope. Verse 4 says, we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people, which come from your confident hope. The thing that holy and faithful people have is that nobody else in the world has got. Okay? The thing that they have is a real and visible and confident hope that impacts every area of their life. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 15, that iconic passage when Paul starts talking about the centrality of the resurrection. If Jesus didn't die, if Jesus didn't rise, then the whole thing's a house of cards. Okay? There's an interesting verse in there. I'm not sure I put it on the slides, but verse 32 says, if there's no resurrection, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. I think what Paul is talking about there is this attitude that something is wrong in my world and I can't fix it and I don't know how to fix it. So, well, one day it'll get better. So I'll just enjoy the most of life and make the most of it. And it's far easier to live with just a general satisfaction about life and where it's going. And Paul stops him and says, stop. That ain't the sort of faith, that ain't the sort of hope that holy and faithful people have got. We've got something better. He's saying that for those who follow Jesus and who believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that there is life in this earth and there is eternal life to come and it's reserved for you in heaven and it changes your life. Because people who have hope, real, confident hope, worship differently. They live differently. They get up in the morning differently. They work differently. They make priorities differently because you have a different hope. And can I just ask you a question? Have you ever stopped to get up in the morning and wonder, what sort of hope have I got? And does it actually invade my life or not? Question for all of us. The third thing holy and faithful people have got is they see people being changed by God's... I love this one, I've got to say. Verse 6 says, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world, bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives just as it changed yours. Holy and faithful people, because of what they've been blessed by God, changes their life. It changes their life. They can't help but share it with the person next to them. Okay? It is a life-altering message. God's grace doesn't just make us a little bit better or a little bit cleaner or a little bit better looking for a Sunday morning. It is born out of the realization that all of us, none of us deserves God's grace. And All of us have fallen short of it. And Jesus says, regardless of how dirty you are and where you've been and what you've done and how far you have fallen, if you reach out to me, I'll take hold of you and I'll change your life. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm not happy just to leave you there. I'll even give you my Holy Spirit with the power to change your life and give you a new life and make it better. So you don't have to stay stuck there anymore. You know, people who are holy and faithful, I find honestly, are the most humble people in the world. Aren't they? Because they stop and remember every single day just how much God has blessed them and just how far God has brought them. And they can't help but share it with the person next to them. Now, you know what? There's nothing better than sharing God's grace and God's story of what he's done with you into the lives of other people. But I reckon what we do as people, and maybe I'm overthinking this, but maybe what we do is we just convince ourselves that my story and my life doesn't have anything to do with the person next to me. In my previous church up at Hills, we had a guy who was an ex-copper, just like me. And he came to church in the aftermath of some fairly significant, messy circumstances in his life. And I got talking to him in church and before church, and he sat behind me the first service, and I remember just hearing tears and crying the whole service. He was ready because God was working on him. And he said to me as I left, mate, you don't know the impact you had. And I'm like, Dave, I didn't do anything. I just talked to you, right? Maybe I did a roster for some people who some people welcomed him. Maybe somebody else poured him a coffee. Maybe somebody else made him part of the family. Somebody else invited him to a bike group. Somebody else invited him to Alpha. I didn't do much. And you know what he said to me? He said that first day when I walked into the church and I cried a lot, he said it was the realization that I was talking to another ex-copper that made me realize that these people are just what I need. Church, you have no idea the impact you have on the next person who walks through that door just by you being here. You have no idea. I didn't do anything with that guy. Maybe I did, but it wasn't me. It wasn't me. You never know the difference you make to the next person by just contributing to the little things. That's what holy and faithful people do. They contribute to the kids' ministry. They jump in and help with the welcome. They clean around the church. They welcome people. They lead a group. They pour coffee. They just do something. And it makes a difference, church. It really does. Because you know what? The story of God's grace changes people's lives. And often it's usually because it's usually in spite of us rather than because of us. The fourth one, and I did look at, I had three points last week. I have four this week. Okay, you're never going to be able to pick it with me. Holy and faithful people are often the result of great leaders who invested in them. Verse 7 and 8 said, you learnt the good news through Epaphras, our beloved co-worker, God's faithful servant who is helping us. There's a little sense in there that Paul takes a moment here to honour and to acknowledge the person who in that church and maybe in that person's life told them about Jesus and it changed. I think each one of us can probably, if you were to sit there right now, think about the person who was the one who discipled you and had the biggest impact in your life. Paul takes a little moment there and he says, I want to acknowledge that, because without them, without those holy and faithful people, this church wouldn't be what it is, and Paul's church wouldn't be what it is either. For many of you, that person's Pastor Alan, I've got to say. I'm not even sure he's here today. I think he might have chickened out. But you know what, Pastor Alan? I know that he'll hate me saying this, okay? But I think it's entirely appropriate that we as a church honour and publicly thank him for what he did. Because for many of us, he was the guy who brought God's grace to us. Week in and week out for 30-something years. What a man. I want to tell you, church, that we've got some plans on a board level to honour him. And I would love to talk with you about what that looks like, but I can't tell you all the details because, well, then he'd know about it, right? So we can't do that. But over the next couple of months and weeks, we're going to have some more information that'll go out to you about how we're going to do that. We're planning a sort of like something down here in the park for May, but obviously COVID's sort of thrown all that into a bit of a mess. And the thing that I'm most excited about is Pastor Alan's contribution to this church ain't stopping anytime soon. In fact, he's going to be here preaching again one day. He's going to be here just doing stuff like he always does, maybe a little bit less than he has been, but he's still a valued part of this church. And it's entirely appropriate for people who maybe have been discipled by him and encouraged by him, you go and tell him. Go and tell him. By the way, it would be remiss of me not to acknowledge Angie as well. Angie has made an incredible contribution to this church over the last four or so years as senior pastor. And look, you know what? I've heard a lot of stories over the months and years about people who, you know, she's cared for and people she's contacted. And the church is better because Angie's here. Okay, Angie, you're a valued part of the church. We love you. And I just want to let you know, for the sake of clarity, that I've got, apparently the senior pastor, I've got to bring a recommendation that Ange stay on as part-time associate pastor, and that's what I'll be doing. So they'll be, you guys are good at votes. We're going to have to do another one apparently for that. So, but you know what? Ange will continue to serve here, God willing, with the backing of this church, with the encouragement of this church, and she will continue to serve with Ambulance Victoria with the prayers and the backing and the encouragement of us releasing her to do that. That's what we do. In the days and weeks and months ahead, there'll be plenty of opportunities as a church for us to acknowledge and thank these people for what they've done. Hey, church, here's the thing. And I've talked a little bit of stuff there. Holy and faithful people are often the result of somebody who walks with God who walks with them. Okay? And I guess I want to encourage you to not only go and find that person who encouraged you and made that difference in your life, maybe even they've gone home to be with Jesus today. You can still say a prayer and thank God for that person. Maybe if you haven't talked to them I talked to my youth leader the other day. I sent him a message on his birthday and just said, I want you to know I was writing this sermon. I said, you've got to know the impact you had. I haven't got a reply yet. I don't know if he maybe didn't read it. But I tried and it felt good doing it. So not only be the person that honours the people who invested in you, but more importantly, be the person who does that for somebody else. Be the person who makes a difference. People who are grateful. People who live with hope. People who can't get enough of God's grace, and they can't get enough than to share it and how God changed them with somebody else. We've been talking about, so there's two more things I want to say. We've been talking about God's grace today. And I just want to simply say to you that it is the central message of what we stand for as a church. It's what we talk about. It's the cross. Jesus died so you didn't have to worry about death. So you could live. It doesn't matter how far you have fallen or where you are or how messed up that you cannot reach out to Jesus today and he cannot change your life. And if you give him the chance, let me tell you, he will. If that's you today,
would you please come have a chat with me after church, or talk to Ange, or talk to somebody who you came with? The second thing I want to do, and this is a little bit weird, I want to pray some of the same prayers that Paul prayed in this passage. I only preached the first 8 verses, but I want to start 15 next week, so I'm going to pray the rest. And it's a great prayer. It's a great prayer for this church, and it's a great prayer that we would not only be those holy and faithful people, but all of those things that we talk about would be accurate of our lives. I wonder if you would stand with me, and the band can come, and I'm going to pray those. Okay? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is good, that it alone has the power to change lives. And God, we pray today from Colossians. We thank you for your grace where none of us deserved it. I ask, God, that you would give your people here a complete knowledge of your will, that you would give them spiritual wisdom and understanding, that the way that they live would honour and please you, and that their lives would produce good fruit as they know you more and more. I pray that you would strengthen them with your glorious power so that they would have endurance and patience in whatever season of life they are in today. May they be filled with joy, always thanking God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has enabled them to share in the inheritance of those who live in light. But Jesus has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Somebody say amen. Let's worship our God together.
You ready, Mary?